So the message for today, thought about it in a year ago, is beaten but not but persevering. So just happens to be that way, right? I mean, I never think of them, I mean, when it was, but as I start developing the messages in that, I said, Lord, you have it there. I mean, we, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, we get a little inkling of what Paul, the apostle Paul, has been going through. And he says there in verse 23, are they servants of Christ? And then in parentheses, he adds, I am out of my mind to talk like this because I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. I mean, when, and it continues, as we read in today's scripture, it continues on with everything that he has gone through. I mean, I was reading the news on how the coronavirus has quickly been spreading, and then the number of people that had eventually already overcome. Then I started reading another article in which it read about an attack in Africa of a plague of locusts really invading all the farmlands and eating up all the crops. Then the suffering that these poor farmers were going to now go through, not to mention the natural disasters that are currently happening, the economy that's kind of faltering and not knowing where to go. And it just goes on and on and on. And I said, Lord, is it time? And then I said, well, in the current magnitude of this coronavirus outbreak, one can only wonder, how do we go on? I mean, how does life continue with all this? I mean, schools are being closed. Businesses are taking extra careful measures to assure safety. I've gotten texts and emails from every restaurant, every airline, I mean, every business out there saying, you know, we're being extra precautious, taking extra cleaning. I mean, honey, we can go to Hawaii for $150, you know. Go figure that one out, you know, the airplane. But they're going through extra measures. All they want is their customers to continue buying their products and continue their services. I mean, public events are being canceled throughout the cities. Churches are searching other platforms to continue preaching the word of God. And then when the theme parks close down, well, then you know what? There is something wrong out there, you know. When Disney just managed to say, you know what, we're closing down today or for the rest of the month, we said, Disney closing? This must be serious, right? But as a church, does the church stop as well? Absolutely not. Right? Absolutely not. Humanly speaking, anxiety may set in, but the word tells us in Philippians 4:6, it tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So in this time of anxieties and fear, we shouldn't allow fear just to overcome us and not be able to do nothing. The word of God is telling us. He says, don't be anxious. Come to me in prayer. Come to me in prayer. So we pray unto our most sovereign God who sees us. I mean, fear and discouragement may be trying to overtake us, but then his word tells us in Joshua 1:9, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I mean, how much assuring do we need than the word of God and his promises to let us know that it doesn't matter how far this virus may be overtaking, how far this world may be falling apart, God promised to be with us and to be strong and courageous. Do not just close yourself in and don't open, you know, doors to anybody. He says, do not be discouraged. He is our Lord. He will be with us wherever we go. But through all of this, what we are to say is what we say in Psalm 91, verse 2. He says, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That is where we as Christians stand. You know, he is our refuge. He is our strong tower. He is our fortress. You know, he is our God who will be with us and will sustain us and provide for us everything that we need. Therefore, in whom shall you trust? Shall you trust in your own strength? No, we are to trust in God. I mean, no doubt this world is filled with many dangers and diseases and calamities and many uncertainties. But as God's children, we are to remain strong and continue. Brothers and sisters, this is not the end. We will be witnesses to many more catastrophes, but all of this confirms what God said in his word in Matthew 24, verse 6. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. So even though you may get this, all of these terrible news, on your phone, everywhere, this is not the end. Some people are already hearing that this is the end. This is the end. The Lord said, and his word says, all these things must come to pass. All these things will happen, he says, but this is still not the end. More things are still to come. So if this is not the end, then we must persevere and continue. If this is not the end, we as a church must continue and we must persevere in the midst of all of this. I mean, we can hear of natural disasters and problems that plague the world, but when it hits me personally, then the issue just got real, right? I mean, when we hear that it's happening out there in Europe, when we heard it was happening out in China, when we heard that it was happening in Europe, no problem, none of that. But then all of a sudden we heard it made it over into the U.S. and we start saying, And then all of a sudden we started hearing things that are happening in California and we go, what? And then all of a sudden now your schools, your cities, your this, all of this is going, oh my gosh, this is real. This is real. Well, it was real back then, you know, back last year when it started happening in China also. But now that it's impacting our lives, we take another perspective. Right? When it's been impacting our lives, what we say, this thing just got real, right? And so we need to see how we must persevere and how we have to continue. And for that, we get a fabulous example by the Apostle Paul. Fabulous example. I mean, take a look at Paul, right? Let's go down his laundry list, right? Verse 23, he says, I have worked much harder, okay? Been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged more severely, and I have been exposed to death again and again. We all know the story of Apostle, left there for dead after a big beating that he received. Now, verse 24 says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. For those of you mathematicians, that's 39. Okay, just helping you out there. I know it's a little early in the morning, but he says, 5 times I have received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. He says, 3 times I have been beaten with rods, right? Once I was pelted with stones. You pelted with stones. 3 times I have been shipwrecked. I spent a night in the day in the open sea floating around. Verse 26 continues, says, I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers. I have been in danger. Oops, you won't see it there. Eventually. Oh, there we go. In danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I mean, you're imagining all of this that Paul has gone through and moving on. And then he continues on in verse 27. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. He says, I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything, I have faced daily the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. How does one persevere? After taking this beating that Paul has gotten ever since he was called, after taking this beating after beating after beating, how can you wonder this man, look at him, and then all of a sudden just get up and continue? Why? I mean, did Paul allow all his tragedies to defeat him and keep him from completing his goal? From completing the mission that Jesus gave to him, can anyone here even compare to Paul's life of suffering? So what drives this man to persevere even though literally being beaten to death? His love and passion for his God. See, we as a church or we as individuals may follow calamities, problems, situations, diseases, viruses, infirmities, financial situations, addictions, everything that's going out there. But if you love your God and he fills you with such passion, you will continue. There is no saying, oh no, the Christian walk is just too difficult. I have to put it all to the side and I can't do this anymore. Those are not words of a child of God. I can't do this anymore. We need to know, place our trust in who has given us life, which is God. And through Jesus, we have been given life. Therefore, we are to continue no matter what happens here in our lives or in this world. Remember, fear paralyzes. It paralyzes you. I mean, there are some people right now, I know for sure, because of what they have heard, are even afraid to step out of their door. They're even afraid. I was hearing this on the radio as I was coming in, that this lady had gone to the supermarket and done her grocery shopping, and she was coming out. But as she was coming out, a couple honked at her car, from their car to her, and they honked her, and it was this elderly couple. And they were afraid to even get out of their car and walk into the supermarket. So they gave the lady $100 and told her, can you please go in there and buy us our stuff? And they gave them the list of the things that they needed, gave her the $100. And this Christian lady, she was Christian, she said, sure. She went into the grocery store, bought them, and came out. But they didn't even want to go out of their car. They were expecting the mercies of somebody else who would look at them and say, you know, yes, I will gladly do this to you. Instead of focusing on the fear of the unknown, which can render you immobile, focus on what you do know, which are the promises of God. Okay? That is what we do know, right? We may not know what's going on out there, but we definitely know the promises that our Lord has given to us. And when you know and when you trust God to him to be a faithful God, let me tell you, fear will not sink in. Anxieties will not sink in because you can fully rely on God that he is working out his perfect will. In his timeline, God has an end for this virus, right? And until then, we are not to fear. We are not to stop living our lives. We are to go before the throne of God and ask him to strengthen us every day, to protect us every day. And his word says he will do it. He will do it. Our faith in our faithful God who made these promises is to endure even though persecution, even though illnesses or disease and all those terrible circumstances that you may be going through, even though they may continue, he will be there with you. Sometimes continuing may not happen in the most conventional way. Okay, so as us, Alpha and Omega continues. We may not be here in this temple, but our word, the message of the word of God will be heard. It will not be stopped. It will continue. It may not be in the conventional way, but we have other ways, thanks to our Lord, that has provided this other way. We will find other venues to press onward. Okay, and that is what the word tells us. I have a little illustration here. In 1895, a South African pastor and teacher, and a writer named Andrew Murray was preaching at a large Christian conferences in England. In physical pain from an injury sustained a few years earlier, having been thrown out of a cart while traveling and ministering, and having just received some discouraging criticism from a well-known person, the exhausted Murray opted to stay in bed one Sunday morning. But rather than wallowing in discouragement, he decided to write on his notes of some of his discouragements. At the top of the paper, he wrote, "In time of trouble, say," and then he puts three dots. Then he penned the following counseling his heart with the truth. He says, first, Psalm 23:4, excuse me, a very, very important one, that even though we walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, you are my rod and my staff, and you comfort me. You know, that is the promise that God gives us. So this is the promise that this Murray is also relying on. For example, he wrote on there, in times of trouble, say, first, he brought me here, he meaning God. It is by his will that I am in this straight place. In this fact, I will rest. We are here because God has us here. Second, he will keep me here in his love. And he will give me his grace to behave as his child. Our composure, how we address the situation, should be different than somebody that does not have the hope in their heart as we do of Jesus Christ. Right? We should be, I think, calmer in peace and be able to provide to our family members who may be, right now, I'm sorry for the expression, like a chicken without a head, just running back and forth in fear, you know, and trying to buy my toilet paper. I don't know. You know, this one lady that survived the coronavirus and gone through the whole treatments, and she's fine. She comes out and she says, I understand the drinking of the water, but she says, what I don't understand is toilet paper. Why? She's saying, I don't know. And that there's actually studies. I was reading on one, right? But anyways, beside the point. He will keep me here in his love. Thirdly, he penned down, he will make the trial a blessing. He will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. And last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when he knows that. I mean, this is what he wrote down. Instead of being discouraged, he switched his focus onto the promises of God and saying, you know, I am here because God has me here. I mean, I could be anywhere, but I am here, and he is going to keep me in his love, and he will make this thing that we are going through a blessing. He will make it, and we will learn something from this, and in good time, he is going to bring us out again. But truthfully, when times of discouragement come, how can we persevere? I mean, remind your heart that for every child of God, in every circumstance, the best really is yet to come, okay? And that's something that we have to understand. We may not understand it, but God wants us to know this. Our hope for a joyful future is not in solutions to our temporary problems. I mean, God wants us to see this and to understand this, but we are so faced with the fact that, you know, I have a limited mind. I may not understand everything that God is saying. You know what? God says that as well. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than yours. So we may not understand all of it that's going on, but just because we don't understand it, we don't allow it to control our lives. We have to rely on God. We have to place our trust in him and know that it's okay for you if you have to go to work, that God will be taking care of you. I work for LA Unified School District. Superintendent just put out a message that all schools are closed. All teachers and all students are to remain at home. But guess what? I am neither a teacher and I am neither a student. I have to report to work. Like I, you know, won't somehow impact me. But I still must do that. And I do that with the assurance that God is with me. I do that with the assurance that knowing that where I go, even though it's one centralized, you know, duct system with the air conditioning and all that, and I understand that, but, you know, I place myself in his hands. And I am here because of his love. He wants me here. He needs me to be here. And I am doing this. I am considered what they call the high-risk employee because of my diabetes. And I have the option to stay at home. But you know what? I am not going to stay at home in fear when God is covering me with his grace. So let us remember this. I have 5 points that I want to... That was all intro, right? Sorry. I get a little lengthy in my intros. But we're all there. Good. 20 minutes. That's enough. 5 for each one. I have five things for us to remember when we are confronted with difficult times. Right? Because we have to see it beyond our narrow focus of pain, 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 pain. We have to expand our mind to really begin to see it, begin to kind of understand the way God wants us to see it. The first one, he says, God tests our hearts in our difficult times. Okay? He tests our heart. For example, do we believe and trust God even in the midst of pain and suffering? Do we believe in the promises of God even when everything looks impossible? Do we trust in God even when we do not understand his ways in our lives? Our trials can be a test of our faith. All these situations can be really to see, well, How much do you say you trust your God? You are amen when everything's going well, but what happens when those difficult times roll around? Are you trusting in God? How strong is your faith? Remember that tests are not designed to maliciously hurt us. No, the tests are given to prove ourselves worthy. It's just simply taking a look at with schools where we constantly get those types of tests. After a long period of studying, after a long period of acquiring the knowledge needed, the teacher is not going to, if they only taught you what 2 plus 2 is equals 4, right? Yes? 2 plus 2 is 4. She's not going to give you, 34, what is the quotient of such and such, et cetera, et cetera. She's not going to give you that. You are going to be tested for what you have learned. In the churches as well, God tests our faith from what we have been listening to, from what we gather from His Word, so that we can be found worthy. Secondly, God directs us in our most difficult times. And that's how we have to understand that even though it's a difficult time, God is directing us. Unaware to us, because we might not see it, God is directing us when we are going through a hard phase in our life. Whether that be at a personal level, or at a city level, as we are going now, God is directing us. Sometimes God brings a hurt to us just to get us moving again. Okay? He may bring a hurt. He may bring something that's kind of uncomfortable for us, but just to get us moving. We become complacent and satisfied, and God then directs the hurt so that we can then move right along. When everything is so hunky-dory, real comfy, real nice, we're very seldom want to move out of that place because it's so comfortable. But see, God doesn't want a complacent church. God doesn't want us just coming to Alpha and Omega and just sitting here and listening to His Word and praising and just doing that, and that's all we need to do. No. In order for us to get us moving, He may light a little fire under our feet. So you say, hey, then we have to move out of that place and find somewhere else. He might put something a little out there, a little hurt, a little pain, that in order for us to wake up and start doing these things, right? Otherwise, we would never move. Maybe you lost your job or a friend has betrayed you. Maybe you struggle with problems or illnesses or addictions or character problems. Don't give up on your trials. Look by faith. There is a greater destiny coming your way. Okay? And by faith is how we walk. By faith, that is how we should be moving. The third thing that we are to understand is that God corrects us in our hurts or in those difficult times. So even though there's a difficult time coming on, even though there's a hurt, God is correcting us, because sometimes God can also use our hurts to correct us. There are other times when we are wrong. There are other times when we are wrong. We have strayed into sin. We have made wrong choices, and we need God's correction. And it's those times of hurt, and it's those difficult times that God will use that. He will allow that to happen so that He can correct your ways, so that you can understand. I mean, take a look at Jonah. I mean, Jonah disobeyed God, and instead of going right as God wanted him to go, he decided to go up and go left, opposite from where God wanted him to go. Well, guess what? God corrected him. Sure enough, it was in the form of a great big fish, swallowed him. 3 days in the belly of that fish, and it's not until the third day. Can you believe that? I would have been praying to God on the first day. It's like, oh my God, what have I done? It took him 3 days to realize, God's purpose for him. And he finally gave up after that third day, but that was Jonah. I mean, you talk about also the prodigal son that also lived a reckless life, thinking that the way he was living in self-indulgence is what life was all about. But then after losing it all, then he longed for the food that was given to the pigs. And he longed to be a slave in the house of his father. God corrected that as well. It made him snap out of it. It's like, snap out of it. Remember, there is not the time to get bitter. This is not the time to get bitter. God is in it, and He is correcting you. When you get back, there is going to be joy and rejoicing, right? So after the troubled time, after that difficult time, after that correction, there is going to be joy and rejoicing. Number 4, God protects us in our hurts. Okay? He is protecting us in our difficult times. I mean, Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." He says, "Where is the Lord when you're going through those difficult times? Close to you." Okay? He is close to the brokenhearted. He is there to save you. Okay? That's where he is. It's a promise that he's giving us. Psalm 147:3, he says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. So not only is he there close to you, but then he also mends whatever is hurting you. He fills you with his love, his compassion. He gives you the strength to go forward. Why? Because you know that he is working inside of you. You may be hurting inside, but the Lord is sustaining you. You may not be seeing it, and like we sing, you know, even though our eyes can't see you, even though we can't see you, the Lord is working his perfect will inside of us. He is working. He is doing his will. Psalm 91:1 says that whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We will find rest if we are sheltered by his shadow of the Most High. If we are his children, for sure know that he is there and he will give us rest. I mean, he is the one where we really find our true rest, in the presence of the Most High. That is really where we need to look towards, go towards every morning. Lord, I know times in this world are uncertain. I don't have any type of control, but I fully rest upon you, Lord, because you are in control. And if anyone can have any sort of solution to all this, I know it's going to be you, and you will grant wisdom to those that need to find that solution and provide the means to do so, Lord. So I rest in you, Lord. I rest in your arms. And even though everything is falling apart, I rest in you. Which leads me to my fifth point, which says, hurts make us rely on God. Okay? Our difficult times make us rely on God. I mean, sometimes it's only when we are crushed and down that we see the face of God. And we wholeheartedly learn to trust him. It's almost as if we need to get to that level of hard times and difficulties so that our hearts can snap out of it. Hey, and now turn to God. It's almost because we are typical human beings that whenever everything is going well, do we even bother to say, "Thank you, Lord, because all this is going well"? Do we even bother to say, "Lord, thank you because my job is well, my family is well, my wife, my husband are well, my children are doing well because you have us in the palm of your hand"? Do we even bother saying that when all things are going well? Oh, but woe if something is going everything wrong, right? Halt that car. Stop that car right there. And then all of a sudden, it's like, "We need you, Lord. We want you, Lord. We have to be there. I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you." Well, you could also trust me when things are going good. You could also tell me that. It's not a sin to be grateful to God. Let us be grateful to God in the good times and also in the bad times as well. So when we do have these type of difficulties that are coming about, that are out there in the world today, these circumstances are really supposed to make us rely on God, look towards his promises, look towards that hope that we need every day in order to sustain us. You know, hurts, trials, and tribulations are not all bad, okay? And some may be good because God, for some reason, has allowed it. It just means that he is in total control, okay? He is in total control. A hurting soul has the decision to, one, either trust in God, he says, or leave God. Yet I can tell you that you trusting in God will result in perseverance. I mean, many of us today, I mean, I know the kids are saying, 2 weeks off of school, yay, you know. Yeah, so thank you, virus. No, it's the wrong perspective, right? I mean, if you're a Christian youth, if you're a Christian person or individual that's affected by what's going on in society and everything here, then we must all cling together and really be praying for all the cities and everything that's going out there. I mean, the city of Lynnwood here, again, much like many other cities, all the public events are canceled. Everything is closed. You know, where there's really, you know, not a lot of things that we can pray for, and we can do so as a Christian community. See, when we pray together, what we're really saying is, Lord, we trust you. Right? When we come together as a Christian community, what we're saying is, Lord, we have found you to be the one who can control this, control all anxieties in our life, control all our fears in our lives, because we rely on you. And nothing will happen to me unless you decide it to be so, unless it's your will. And that is really where it's a shift of focus, right? Where we're supposed to go and what we are supposed to do. Here's another illustration that I found. He says, do you know that an eagle knows when a storm is approaching long before it breaks? When the storm hits, it sets its wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it above the storm. While the storm ranges below, the eagle is soaring above it. The eagle does not escape the storm. It simply uses the storm to lift it higher. It rises on the wind and rises on the winds that bring the storm. When the storms of life come upon us, we can rise above them by setting our minds towards God. The storms do not have to overcome us. We can allow God's power to lift us above them. See, and what a great analogy, because this is not only coronavirus. We don't need to be lifted. Not only do we need to be lifted today, but I mean, after coronavirus, let me tell you, there's going to be many, many other things that will try to bring us down, tear us down, push us down, crash us down, many difficulties in life, whatever. But it's the same principle. Do not allow that situation to bring you down. In fact, use that situation by placing your trust in God too, so that you can rise above that situation. The situation will not go, but know that God is sustaining you, and he is lifting you above that, and he is giving you the strength and the courage to move forward. So I close with this. God has many wonderful promises for his children in his word. And really, that is what we look at. That is where our faith is supposed to be placed on, his word, because his word comes from a faithful God, okay? And his faithfulness is evident throughout the scripture pages. And where do we find hope? Not out there in the world that right now sees all this as hopeless, but rather we need to focus our hope in the word of God, in the God who is our hope, in Jesus who is our hope, in God who can sustain us, who can bring us through this storm, rise above all this. Alpha and Omega will rise above all this, and will come and will continue. And when the storm settles down, we will come right back again and continue and persevering until the Lord calls his entire church before his presence. So God has many wonderful promises for his children and in his word. And even though you may not be coming to Bible study on Wednesday, and you may not be saying a whole full hour and a half here on Fridays and doing that, then all that extra time is not TV time. Mm-mm. It's not Netflix time. Sorry. It's not Facebook, social media time. I encourage you to start looking up all those promises and start writing them down, because Lord knows you won't need those promises this time only. You're going to need them eventually later on. And if you already have done your due diligence of looking them up and signing them down, you have them right there with you all the time. So as we close today's message, the world around us may be unstable and or falling apart, but we will rise, but he will rise us above the storms of life so that they will not overcome us. He will lift us up. You may be beaten, but his strength will help you persevere. World out there is being beaten. Problems may beat us, but with his strength, you will persevere. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for those promises that you have placed in that word. because we can fully rely on you, Lord. You are a faithful God, and you have proven to be so throughout the generations and years after years after years that humanity has been here on earth, Lord. You have been a faithful God and a loving God as well, Lord. And even though we find ourselves in the midst of this terrible situation and impacting cities and countries and the whole world itself, Lord, we know that, Father, there is a light at the end of this tunnel, Lord. And you are the light, Lord, that we are supposed to search and look towards. Father, we ask you to continue sustaining us, Lord. And even though our church, our temple, Lord, might be temporarily have these doors closed, Lord, because of not helping in the not spreading of the virus, Lord, we do ask you, Lord, that all the brothers and sisters, Lord, continue their faith grow, Lord, through our media, Lord, through our YouTube channel, Lord, and continue to grow in that way, to hear about your word, to know that we are not alone, that you are always there with us, Lord. Sustain us, Lord, as you have always done so. Strengthen us, Lord, as you have always done so, Lord. But always give us the courage and the wisdom, Lord, to know when things are not tough, that we should always turn to you and trust in you. For all that, Lord, we give you glory and we give you thanks, Father. In the name of the glorious Son, Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you, my brothers and sisters.